got himself into trouble in the book of Genesis. And he fled for his life. He was 40 years of age. Won't go into detail, but he ended up for another 40 years herding his father's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. God had already said, you're going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage because they were slaves to the Egyptians. And so he spent the next 40 years leading Israel, first out of Egypt, and then because they were disobedient, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. At the end of 40 years, God said, Moses, you're going to go up into that mountain and you're going to die there. You're not going to cross the River Jordan to the land that the children of Israel themselves will cross. And so some of his last words are recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament, chapter 33. What Moses did under the direction of God is he gave a prophecy concerning each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I've chosen as the text of my message this morning some of the words that he said concerning Asher, one of Jacob's sons. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26 and 27. There's no one like God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge. I want you to notice that sentence. The eternal God, that descriptive term. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, the fountain of Jacob alone. In a land of grain and new wine, his heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? The shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your sacred word. And we pray that you will open up your word to our hearts, to our minds, that we may receive it, that we may understand it, and that it may benefit our spirits today. In Christ's name, amen. I've entitled my message today, In Eternity. When Marlo asked me about speaking today, I immediately knew the topic, even while he was talking to me. I knew I was going to talk about eternity. How long is eternity? Maybe some of the young people and maybe some of the older ones think, well, that's the length of time some pastors preach. Or maybe the teacher teaches on a subject they're not really interested in. Well, I understand your feelings. But eternity is having infinite duration, endless. Eternity means to have no beginning and no end. I heard the word eternity, everlasting, when I was a little child. My parents told me that God is eternal, that God was not created, yet God had no beginning and no end. I didn't debate it, I didn't doubt it, but it caused me a lot of thinking. I can remember sometimes lying on the grass in the summer as a little child, looking up at the sky, watching the clouds go by, seeing the blue sky in between them, and I thought about God, eternal. At one time, he was all alone. See, the characteristics of God are infinite. Man's are finite. The qualities of the personality of God are measureless. Man's are limited. Since my wife passed away almost 5 months ago, The thought of eternity has been on my mind almost daily. I recognize that she now lives in a different medium than any of us do right now. I do not know everything about the medium that she and other loved ones live in, but the Bible tells us quite a bit about eternity, about heaven, about what it's like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, we read there some of the words that Paul said. And I think when he's quoted them, he was thinking about his own eternal future. It was on his mind. Fish live in water. You and I live in air. What do people live in who have died and gone to heaven? We know some of the details, but certainly not all. What is heaven like? The book of Revelation describes some of the appearances of heaven. It also declares especially that Christ will be there. Christ will be in heaven. We do know that those who go to be with the Lord are there forever because heaven is our hope. Heaven is our objective. That's where all of us want to go, I hope. When I die, I want to go be with the Lord and with all of our loved ones. Where do you want to go? The eternity of God. Everything apart from God has had a beginning. Do you realize that? Everything apart from God has had a beginning. The angels, the devils, the cherubs, the seraphs, all creatures referred to in the scripture have all had a beginning at one point in time. I don't know when. We do not read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning God was created." Is that there? No, it's not. All it says is, "In the beginning God created." There's no place in Scripture that refers to the creation of God, because God was not created. God is eternal and uncreated. Everything else apart from God has been created. Only God is eternal. Only God has no beginning and no ending. So it is here in the first verse of the Bible that we take the existence of God as a fact. I've heard some people say we take it for granted. We take it as a fact. In the beginning, God. And so that's the start of Scripture. God has always existed. For us to say that God has always existed is a pronouncement of faith. Anything less than that is agnosticism and atheism. Genesis states, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And I can't but help but marvel at the creation of God, at the creative handiwork of God. Especially after all the rain we've had in April, you drive out in the country, it is absolutely gorgeous. I've never seen the fields look more beautiful than they do right now. God created all of that. Genesis chapter 1 goes through methodically the six stages of God's creative activity, but nothing is said about God himself having been created. Chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I read it just to refresh my memory this morning. Moses, who had an amazing revelation of God, now declares, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." What comfort that affords us. the eternal God. What kind of God do you have? Is your God eternal? If your God is the one true God, then he is. Everything else has been come into existence by his power. Moses here affirms the eternity of God. And Moses knew God well. He saw him in ways that almost no one else has ever seen him. Try to imagine eternity for a moment. I've tried to imagine numbers of times. As a child and as an adult, I indicated that when I was a child, because of what I had been told and what I had learned, I tried to think, what was it like for God to be there, wherever in space, all by himself? God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I'm reading a book right now that somebody loaned me. And I don't think the author believes that Jesus Christ is deity. I believe it. With all of my heart and soul, I believe it. When I was asked about going overseas the very first time, that's the subject I wanted to teach, Christology. Who is Jesus? What is his place in the world? What is his place in the university? What is in the universe? What is his place in eternity? Jesus, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, God incarnate in the flesh, he with the Father and the Spirit has existed eternally. What tremendous company. And so I've tried to imagine what it is like for God to exist forever, to be eternal. I've not only done it, as I said, as an adult, I've done it as a child, and it's amazing. And you who work with children, you who teach children, teach them the eternity of God. Tell them now so they won't have to struggle with it as an adult. I've tried to activate my imagination as much as possible and go back in time and go back farther and farther. God is always there. No matter how far back you go, you'll find him. Sometimes I've heard people say, God has existed from the beginning, the beginning of eternity. That's really a contradiction. If you believe in eternity, there is no beginning to eternity. Eternity never ends. God has never had a beginning. He has always existed. God has no beginning and no end because he's eternal. Like a circle. You can't find the end of a circle. You just go round and round. That is comforting thought. God has existed forever. There is no knowledge that is hidden from this God, from your God. No one has preceded him, and no God will come after him. And the older I get, the more strongly I believe in the eternal nature of God, in the creative power of God, in the existence of God. When our loved ones pass away, they're not only in good hands. Get this, they're in eternal hands. They're in eternal hands. They're in the best hands they can be in because they're with Christ, who died on Calvary's cross to redeem them and give them eternal life. Just a few days before my wife passed away, I was sitting beside her, and she had her eyes closed, and she asked me, she turned and asked me with her weak voice, she said, "Where's that music coming from?" I thought for a moment, she hears something I don't. Not just because my hearing was never as good as hers, but she was listening. And I says, well, where is it coming from? Well, she said, the end of the hallway. I said, what are they singing? She said, I shall know him. I shall know him. As redeemed, by his side I shall stand. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. She'd know him. How? As the song says, by the print of the nails in his hand. We've heard beautiful singing on this earth, but I believe the singing that we'll hear in eternity will far outmatch anything we've ever heard before. There is one God only. People have made gods of wood, stone, silver, gold, wood. They've worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars, all the hosts of heaven the Bible talks about. But you know what the Bible says? That's all idolatry. And idolatry is sin, because we're making something else a god. And the Bible says there's one God only, just one. Anything else that we can do with our hands is not a god. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, it says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Did you see what he said? I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Therefore, the worship of anything else but God is idolatry. And so we see idolatry on every continent and every island of the sea. The psalmist said in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The man who denies the existence of God begins to live like there is no God. From there on, he fabricates his own codes of life. And they're wrong. He begins to debate the ethics of life with the eternal whom he actually denies. Why does Scripture call him a fool? Because he is denying things that are so obvious. Everywhere we look, we see evidence of design. Isn't that right? Everywhere we look, we see evidence of design. And if there is design, there is a designer. I look at this building. I see design. I look at you. I see a design. Somebody designed this building. And they designed it well, so the roof wouldn't cave in on you, so the walls wouldn't blow down with every little puff of wind. There's a designer. We look at the universe, the majesty of the universe. There is a designer. Psalm 45, verse 5 and 6 says, I am the Lord. There is no other God. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord. And there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is very emphatic in his word that he is the only God. And he doesn't want us to have any other false god, because that's all they are, is false gods. When we were in Mombasa, on the Indian Ocean, the east side of Kenya, we went into a Jain temple. And because In the eyes of the people who went there to worship, it was a holy place. We were obliged to take off our shoes before we went in. And I will never forget the lady who was in one corner of the building of this temple. There was a silver statue on a shelf. She had a mat that she had stretched out on the floor, and she bowed down before the shrine, got up, went through her process, bowed down again and again, worshiping that God of silver. Somebody created it, somebody fashioned it, somebody built the shelf to set it on. How can people with an intelligent mind do that? It's idolatry. It is no God. It's an idol. There is one God who inhabits the entire universe, and he is aware of every part of its existence. Nothing, the scripture tells us, is hidden from him. Scientists, get this, have spent millions and millions of dollars building sophisticated electronic equipment that can send coded messages out into space. Do you know what they're doing? These guys, most of them, are atheists that are doing this. They don't believe in the existence of God, but they're sending coded messages, electronic messages, into space, and it's going on now, today. Thinking that if there's any intelligent beings out there, they'll respond. They'll respond to the message that they're sending to them. I don't believe they'll ever get a message. But God has sent us a message. It's in his holy word, his book. He has sent us the Bible. A holy man of God wrote and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Everything God wants us to know while we're in this life is encased in this book. We have it. For our benefit. What amazes me is that the creator of the universe has put all of his message, he has put it in print, and so many of the world reject it. They despise it. A wonderful message has indeed come from space. It's the Holy Spirit inspired scriptures. I believe the God who created the universe not only has intelligence to write scripture, but to write it without fault and without contradiction. That book that was delivered to me, given to me while I sat in this man's home, is about a search for the history of God. And yet, obviously, she doesn't agree that the scripture is written without mistakes. If there's a mistake there, it's because of translation from the original. The scripture is written correctly. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, how much? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished or equipped to every good work. Peter added his part, and he declares, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The eternal God loves us, and so he wants us today, now, to hear his word. And it's so important. Peter indicates that God knew before creation that Christ would become the incarnate Son of God who would offer his life a ransom for whoever would accept him. Is he your Savior? Have you accepted the Savior that the eternal God sent? Eternity means what it implies, forever. forever. How long is eternity? Forever. No beginning, no end. I appeal to you to determine to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, who gave his life a ransom for many. And if you have loved ones who passed away, who have died, they love the Lord, they know the Lord, you can see them, if you will. The Bible says, repent. I know traveling overseas in Russia and Ukraine, places like that, they use the word repent. We use born again or got saved. They will use it, repent. Has he repented? Has she repented? It's a good word. They've changed their way of life. They've changed their pattern of life. Every one of us have had things that we've done that we need to repent of. Jesus used the word everlasting life in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. Back to that word eternal. The moment you bow and receive Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. A life that will never end, either in this life or in the life to come. If you died now as a believer, your life with Christ, your walk with Christ would continue without interruption, without a moment's hesitation. I love the words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, 28. And the words are the words of Jesus. He says, come. Come. Now, isn't that a wonderful invitation from Christ? He's asking those who have not received him, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. There's no doubt in Christ's mind, I will give you rest. Another time, not life long before my wife passed away, she said, I remember you one time when you were preaching, you said, if anybody fell out of an airplane, they could become a Christian before they hit the ground. I said, yes, I made that statement, and I still believe it. When Jesus was dying on the cross, when he was going through that excruciating agony, and we remembered that event today by taking the cup, by taking the bread. One of the thieves beside him said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? Well, I'll have to think about that for a moment. Did he say that? Not on your life. Jesus immediately replied, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus doesn't hold his hand out and make us stay away. He said, as he said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor. His invitation is always come. And the moment a person cries out to God for forgiveness and repentance, just at that same moment, the Lord responds and he gives us eternally the gift of eternal life. Could we bow our heads in prayer? Lord, there are individuals here today who maybe have never asked the Lord to become their Savior. It's possible that they have never repented. And I ask that as they call upon you for forgiveness and cleansing, I know that you will respond. You said come, and as they come, you will offer them peace and forgiveness, not only for this life, but for eternity. Bless and transform lives according to the greatness of your power, in the loving name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed to receive the Lord today, tell somebody about it, because it's the greatest decision anybody can make.
Thanks, Dad. And if you prayed to receive Christ, I encourage you.